T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That is out there. On the other side of the glass, producing this show, as always, Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. This, of course, is your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. All right, we've been taking a look at Pro Football Focus's rankings of different players, position groups, units, things like that. Ready for this one, Jarvis? Ranking the 32 defensive line units tonight. Shocking. Pittsburgh's number one, huh? Washington number two. Tampa Bay three. The Rams number four. All right. Where do you think we fall?
33.
60th. No. 31. They actually have the Houston Texans behind the Atlanta Falcons.
That makes sense.
This ranking doesn't feel fair to Grady Jarrett. He's been the sixth most valuable interior defensive lineman in the NFL over the past 4 years. There just isn't much around him on Atlanta's defensive line. Dante Fowler's first year with the team was nowhere near what the Falcons were expecting when they signed him to a multi-year deal last offseason. He recorded a run defense grade below 40 and a pressure rate below 10% for the season. Really? I can't even believe I can't even imagine that he even got to the quarterback at all, did he? The quarterback basically would have had to have tripped and fallen in front of Dante Fowler for him to get a sack. Falcons would be eager to see better seasons for both Fowler and a healthy Marlon Davidson in the second season after he earned a 58.1 grade on just over 100 snaps as a rookie. I will tell you right now, first and second year guys, Marlon Davidson better take a step forward. He better figure some things out pretty quickly. Number one is staying healthy. That's the first thing he better figure out. Number two is he's got to help this football team. You can't have a draft pick where he was taken and him not be a critical part of your defensive group moving forward. Like, they have to get production out of Marlon Davidson. He's got to figure some things out. Again, health-wise first, and whatever that means. He's a good run defender, or he's a good pass rusher from inside, or he's going to get moved around a little bit here and there. Whatever that means at the end of the day, he's got to get his game stepped up. This franchise cannot continue to invest in second-round defensive talent, or second-round talent, period. Second- and third-round talent that can't get anything done. And that's where Marlon Davidson is. You know, again, he's another guy that's second-round pick, you know, that has got to get some things figured out after what was a really lackluster first year. Now, again, that's the good news, is that he's only going into his second year. So, you know, obviously, it's a rough rookie year. Regroup, and now let's get things going from there. But it will be interesting to see, because they need him to take a step forward. Tyler Davidson is what he is. Fowler, I don't know what Fowler is at this point. I mean, Fowler's a mixed bag. Do I think he'll be better this year? Yeah, assuming that he's healthy, I do think that he will be better when all is said and done. But how much better? I don't know. It doesn't feel like Fowler's about to be a 12 or 14 sack kind of guy. But stranger things have happened. So, 31st. Only the Texans, with them losing J.J. Watt and such, are behind the Falcons. So, that's good. There's somebody worse than the Falcons when it comes to defensive line. All right, let's start with some audio. Let's hear from the head coach first, starting with Arthur Smith, talking about on best player leadership style that he's worked with.
Like I said, I like to think that I'm flexible. I understand it's not one size fits all. You know, I go back, and I was fortunate enough to be around London Fletcher early when I was in Washington. He was probably one of the better leaders I've been around. Different, you know, different guys at different styles. You know, Delanie Walker had his own style. You know, so good fortune has been around some pretty good leaders. And so I feel like I'm flexible. I can mesh with just about any style. It's the same thing. It's like you don't get in comparisons. Like Ryan Tannehill is different, very different than Matt Ryan. I wouldn't compare both of them. They're their own guys. So that's probably the best way I can answer that for you.
Have they run out of questions to ask Arthur Smith because he's had 3 days of press conferences? Is that kind of what this is? Is that they've run out of things that they can talk to him about or say? Like, I have no idea what that. Any idea who asked? I don't even know what that question was to start with. Any idea who asked it? Like, I have no idea what that was. I'm not knocking it, but I mean, it's just, well, I am knocking it because again, sounds like they've got basically nothing else to talk about up in Flowery Branch. All right, here's Arthur Smith talking about this is his non-response to a redirect on Calvin Ridley not being seen at practice.
Here's the best way to put this, because everybody's got different things they're dealing with in the offseason, whether it's something from last season, something in the offseason. Like, I'm just not, like, we don't have to give the injury report right now. I'm not being coy. It's just guys are at different phases in the offseason. The objective is to make sure everybody is healthy as they can be going into training camp.
I'm confused. Like, was somebody questioning why Calvin Ridley wasn't there or something? I mean, he had some surgery on his foot. He had a procedure. He wasn't going to be there. And again, Jarvis, what's the date today?
The 10th.
Okay. Of what month?
June.
Okay. Who the F cares if you're here at minicamp on June 10th? If that's... That's an Atlanta media thing that would be worried about if somebody's not here on June 10th. That would be one of those things that, remember, you know, Julio missed 1 day of training camp. Oh, my God. You know, what are we going to do, you know? Missed 1 day of camp. Oh, what are they going to do? He's not going to play in the preseason anyway. What difference does it make? Oh, yeah, but him and Matt. Okay, they only played for 10 years together. Yeah, they better get him and Matt. Well, they need to work on their red zone. Right, because in 10 years, they've never worked on their red zone offense. That's how crazy this stuff gets at times on all of it. All right, so Julio Jones today spoke to the Tennessee media in his first days up there as they're in their camp as well. Here's what Julio had to say in his thanking of Atlanta.
First off, man, I just want to thank Atlanta. You know, it was home for me for the last decade, the fan base, the Atlanta Falcons, you know, the whole organization. Without them, you know, they gave me the opportunity to showcase, you know, my ability and what I can do, and, you know, obviously love the game. But, you know, being here at the Titans, I love it. I'm very excited to be a part of this organization. Just the team camaraderie, just the whole atmosphere and everything here, just feels like when I was in college, you know, at the University of Alabama. It's amazing here. So that's where I'm at right now. Had a great day today. Just finished the workout, so I'm excited about being here.
He sounds excited and enthused, doesn't he? Sounds like he's got lots of energy. Was he on till 2 a.m. on Radio 2 or something? Look, it is what it is. I mean, you know, Julio's not a big rah-rah guy. He's not going to get too high, too low, or anything like that. He's not going to get too emotional about some of these, you know, kinds of things. I mean, look, he was drafted by this organization. He spent his whole career here with this organization, so you know, it's going to be a change, and I like I said, I don't think change is necessarily a bad thing. I think that Julio was probably ready to go on. I'll say again, I think you were short sighted if you thought that Julio Jones would retire as an Atlanta Falcon. I just don't think that was ever going to be in the cards, and I think we kind of thought that even maybe a year or two ago, as you know, we'd asked the question. You know, I remember years ago when Randy Mack and I worked together on the weekends, and I'd ask, you know, what kind of 31, 32, 33-year-old Julio Jones? There's a difference. You can be an old 31, 32 in football years. You know what I mean? Like, in football years, that can be very old. Not that he's personally old. Not that he's, you know, on the downslope of his life. I'm talking about in football years, if you've been beat up, banged up, and this, that, and the other. You know, you get in those early 30s at positions that are not quarterback, your tread starts to run low. And that's why teams move on from some of those guys. And, yeah, sometimes teams make a mistake and a guy catches lightning in a bottle and, rejuvenates his career with a change of scenery. That happens. But it doesn't necessarily make it the wrong decision. Now, this decision was not about the player, the person, this, any other. This decision was about money. This decision was about, okay, at some point the Falcons, they have, if they want to have any draft players this year, they're going to have to pay them. I could be wrong. I don't think Kyle Pitts was going to volunteer to work for free in the NFL this year. So if he wants to get paid, they got to have money. Well, guess what they didn't have? Cap space to pay anybody. Well, you had to clear some cap space. And unfortunately, that meant having to move on from Julio. Here's Julio talking about being recruited by A.J. Brown.
I'm very excited. Just for us to be a 1-2 punch or a 1-1 punch or however you want to look at it, he's definitely a number one receiver. Definitely a dog, very has that competitive nature in him. And just showing him, you know, little things that I know from, you know, experience being in the league. But he has it all, you know. And we've been hanging out even before this, even when I was in Atlanta. He used to call me and things like that. So we always talked on the phone. Off season, we talked. So now just being able to play with him, it's going to be great, and it's going to be a very exciting season.
Are they the number one receiving duo now in the NFL, Jarvis? 1,075 yards and 11 touchdowns for A.J. Brown last year. Is that the best wide receiver duo in football?
From a purely talent standpoint, probably so. It's up there. Top three, at least.
Yeah. I mean, they got to be right up there. I would think that they're – That may be the number one duo right now in the NFL. And you could have made a case that when he was here, that was Julio and Calvin Ridley were the number one duo in the NFL. But might be hard to argue with A.J. Brown, who's had two really good years in Houston. You know, he's – or Houston, Tennessee. You know, he's been a 1,000-yard receiver, and last year 11 touchdowns. You know, for a team that is – you know, what's interesting is, remember the Falcons in the 98 Super Bowl year? They were a run-first team, but they had a quarterback that had a big year, and they had two 1,000-yard wide receivers. I think people forget that about Terrence Mathis and, why am I drawing a blank? The guy that they brought over from, I think it was the Chargers. Why am I drawing a blank? The second wide receiver that caught 1,000 yards for the Atlanta Falcons. But anyway, it'll come to me. Somebody will text me with all of it. But, Tony Martin. You know, Terrence Mathis and Tony Martin, those guys were both 1,000-yard wide receivers on that Falcons team. Now, Jamal had the most rushing attempts in the NFL, and I think he set the NFL single-season record that year for rushing attempts. Remember, Jamal Anderson just had a monster year, and like I said, I think he set the all-time record. But they still threw the football a lot. They still had 2,000-yard wide receivers. Tony Martin and Terrence Mathis both had 1,000 yards on that team. So you can still be a run-heavy, run-first type of team, but still be very effective in the passing game. And I think that's what Tennessee is looking at, is we still want to be able to stretch the field. Because at the end of the day in the NFL, you still have to be able to stretch the football field. You can't play 3 yards in a cloud of dust in the NFL anymore. I don't care if you do have Derrick Henry. You have to be able to stretch the football field. You want to win the ultimate prize? You have to stretch the football field. The league is designed to push the football downfield. You have to have that. All right, here's Julio Jones on why he left Atlanta.
Like I said, at the end of the day, Atlanta was amazing to me. You know, I'm, you know, obviously with my new team now, I'm excited to be here. And that's that for us, you know what I'm saying, that situation. So, I mean, I love it. Like, the organization, you know, the people there, my teammates, like I said, the fan base, everybody. I enjoy my decade there. I'm on a new chapter in my life. This is where my focus at, and you know, can't wait to get started. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure how Julio was supposed to answer that question. I mean, you know, the sound bite in between was that he dodged the question, but I'm not sure how he's supposed to answer it. I mean, we know that he was ready to get out of Atlanta. We know the Falcons needed to free up some money. It's a business decision. I don't think he has any ill will toward Atlanta. I don't think he hates Atlanta. I don't think he hates Arthur Blank. Why would he hate Arthur Blank? That guy gave him more money than anybody would, you know, that anybody who's ever going to give him that much. He'll never make more money in his life than he did with Arthur Blank. So there's no reason for him to be negative about all of that. So, again, I don't know exactly what he was supposed to say, but I have no problem with him. You know, what's he supposed to say? F the Falcons. You know, I want it out of there. They suck. Anyway, all right, when we get back, it will be time for That's Life. Concerts are coming fast and furious, and one state is opening up two big areas for all that, plus our top 10 as well. Chuckery hanging out in the Key Studios. Sports Radio 910 The Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show, 924 on this Thursday evening. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers, I'm a text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com apps, I catch on the go. Social media's at 19 on the game. At JMSH316, he's at JarvisD90. Get to our top 10 here in just a second. Did you see Jarvis? You know how they like do those... what's the website that does this? The My Mixtapes. They do like their Mount Rushmores of different like hip hop acts and rap and R&B and all that. Did you see the one for Atlanta that just came out a little bit earlier today?
I didn't see the one from Atlanta.
Yeah, it didn't have Outkast. Didn't have T.I. Ludacris was not on there.
I'm glad I didn't see it then.
Yeah, it was kind of strange to see some of the artists that weren't on there. I'd be honest with you, I didn't even see who exactly was. I just remember people were talking about Outkast wasn't on there because that was like the number one most egregious thing. Ludacris wasn't on there. How you'd have Atlanta, you know, top hip hop acts of all time and not have. Anyway. Central Park is looking at having a huge concert up in New York as we look at concerts coming back. I saw where I think The Weeknd is scheduled to come here to Atlanta sometime mid-July. Alicia Keys is coming, I think, at the end of July. I think she rescheduled her concert to come here. But Mayor de Blasio up in New York announced that they want to have a huge outdoor concert in Central Park. You know, if you know about those things, you know, like they had the Simon and Garfunkel concert there famously. I want to say Springsteen did a big concert there, probably Billy Joel. Madison Square Garden has also announced that they're going to start bringing concerts back. Foo Fighters among some other groups, but they're going to try to line up a big schedule. So we're finally getting kind of to the point where we're back. By the way, I saw some stupid stories like, can we ever feel safe going into an indoor concert again? Let me tell you, if you're that scared to go to an indoor concert again, do us a favor. Stay in your apartment under a blanket with the lights out and don't come out ever again. Just stay there. But anyway, that's my PSA for the evening. So with that, as concerts are finding their way back and they're coming back, what our top 10 tonight, our top 10 concerts that we would pay money to go see, current artists that we would pay money to see. Jarvis, the floor is yours.
All right, so I had to get some, at least I included one posthumous. Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Thank you.
One dead artist.
Yeah, one dead artist in there on my list. And so I'm going to start off with him. Notorious B.I.G., man. He's probably one of the first albums that I actually purchased on my own. I mean, it was actually a tape, too. And I just absolutely would love to, you know, go to a concert and kind of just get that vibe again, because I thought Notorious B.I.G. was a really, really good artist.
To your point on this too, can I tell you that I had a tough time coming up with 10 artists that I would spend money on right now?
Like, I couldn't come up with 10.
Because yeah. I'll put it this way, like my list is probably a mix of half sort of current people versus some old school acts that I have not seen in concert, but I would pay money to. Because I was going through a long list of things, and I was thinking, okay, well, for instance, I know the Rolling Stones still tour. I've seen the Rolling Stones. I don't want to see the Rolling Stones in 2021. If they played for free in my cul-de-sac, I wouldn't watch because I've already seen it. And I saw them when they actually, you know, didn't have to have Geritol, you know, just to get through a show or whatever. But anyway, this was actually a hard list to come up with 10 acts that I would pay money to see. So I'm with you on all this.
So I had to shorten my list. So that's one. I got Notorious B.I.G. I have Goody Mob. They just dropped the album, but this is kind of like a semi-old school act. I've seen them before, but I mean, for them to go ahead and go through probably about 15 to 20 songs of their old albums, man, is just take me back to that time. I would love to go see. I'll pay to go see that today.
Mm-hmm.
This is a gospel artist, man, that I grew up listening to, John P. Key.
Oh, nice.
Man, just, you talking about some good music, just pure music, man. That would be a good time for me. Fugees. They're kind of
That's
a group that I kind of like. I caught on to late once they had already dropped all the albums and kind of gone their separate ways. But man, you talking about something that will sound good played live. Like, that's what I'm into. I'm really into that type of stuff. So it have to be the Fugees.
She's really kind of disappeared from the music scene, hasn't she?
Oh, she's falling off some. Says she's going crazy. If she does get booked for a show, has she gone? She shows up maybe like when it's 5 minutes left to perform.
Yeah, I mean, that,
if at all.
Right. I was gonna say that's been the
Lauryn Hill. That is.
Yeah, I mean that's been kind of her. I don't want to say that's been kind of her rep is that she's one of those you're not supposed to look at her or mention her name or you know what I mean, like she's one of those real like divas.
Man, that's truly unfortunate because like I said, it made some really really good music. And last but not least, Outkast. I've seen them live once in my lifetime. I would love to be able to do that again.
Yeah, I would love to see Outkast. The only reason I didn't put Outkast on my list is only because, are they going to get back together at all? I mean,
this is definitely a wishful list, so that's what I went with, man.
Yeah.
One can only hope.
So I had on my list, because Outkast would have been on my list, but I put them just on more of the wish or anything like that. I had a chance to go and I didn't follow up. I'd go see J-Lo in concert. I would see J-Lo. I like those pop dancers. So J-Lo's on my list. Yeah, I would definitely see her.
Okay.
Rihanna would be on that list.
Ooh,
I would go see Rihanna in concert. I enjoy those girly pop types of acts that are out there. This girl has become my newest fascination. I love her music. And I'm
Tiana Taylor.
Well, yeah. Well, this girl. Besides the fact that she's drop dead gorgeous, but this Dua Lipa. You familiar with her? Have you heard that song "Levitating" with her and DaBaby?
You mean Guapale?
Huh?
You mean Guapale?
Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa.
Yeah, Dua is her first name. Dua.
Uh-huh.
And Lipa is her last name.
I've never heard of that person.
Oh no, she's got that song "Levitating." She's got a lot of good songs that, I think her first big hit was like IDGAF.
I've seen her before. I just didn't ever know her name.
She's like really popular right now. Like really popular.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think We're Good is one of her big songs right now. Break My Heart was a real big hit for her. That song Levitating that came out earlier this year was like her real big. Her and DaBaby that do Levitating. That song is, if you can't listen to that song and not feel good and happy about life or anything, or just want to dance, to all of it. So, again, something like that, or I can have some drinks and enjoy and listen to, some fun music. I really like her. Lady Gaga. I would pay to see Lady Gaga. I enjoy her music greatly. So, as we used to say in the old days, that was treadmill music back when we had time to get on the treadmill and work out and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I missed this concert, and I want to say, and I know that this was her retirement tour, and this was like right before the pandemic, but Anita Baker came here to concert. I think it was at the Fox Theater or something like that.
I believe I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
If she would come back around, I would definitely go see Anita Baker. I'm such a huge fan of hers. I don't know that they would ever get back together, but I did have on my wish list, I'd go see Destiny's Child. If they put the three of them together, yeah. I'd pay to see Destiny's Child. They'll do their individual hits as well.
Destiny Child or the people that are going to go see Destiny Child?
Well, both. but I we've talked before about Kelly Rowland, but Beyonce, Kelly Rowland, Michelle Williams, I'd go see that if they brought them back. And especially if they do some of their, as long as they'll do their old stuff, right? As long as they'll do like No, 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 Bills, 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 and all that, jumping, and all that. Why is every song they have repeat out of all of it? So, which one did Candy write for
Bills, Bills, Bills.
She did Bills, Bills, Bills. Then everybody else on my list is old. Phil Collins, who has been touring around the country. He's done some stuff with Genesis, too, touring around the country. For whatever reason, he's not come to Atlanta. I would very much go see Phil Collins if he'd come to Atlanta. I've missed him a couple of times in Atlanta. Former resident Elton John. I would like to see Elton John once in my life. I've never seen Elton John in concert. I would like to see him one time in my life. And then two other very old people. I've never seen Madonna in concert. So if Madonna would ever... Now, Madonna's got to be in her 60s by now. So I would think she's got to be in her 60s by now. So I would like to see her in concert. And then a guy that everybody says puts on a great show. He was here a handful of years ago. I think I want to say that concert was at Mercedes-Benz, but I would see Garth Brooks. I would go see Garth Brooks. Another one of those artists that I'd like to say that I've seen at least one time in my life. Hit us up on the text line. Hit us up on our Twitter page as well if you want to be part of the fun and give us some of your people that you would check out. When we come back, Sam Mitchell joined us earlier in the show. What he had to say about the Hawks and some other NBA stuff. Chuck Reed hanging out in the Key Studios. Sports written out to the game in the Odyssey.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.